Paul writes in Romans 12, starting in verse 17, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring judgment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes." Some of you guys didn't even know paying taxes in the Bible, aside from Jesus' conversation, but right there. "This is also why you should pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants." Three times he said that. "Who give their full time to governing, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your word and the guidance that you give to us in your word. We thank you for the security and the hope that we have in you above any governing authority here on earth. Father, we ask that you would open our heart and our mind as you open our eyes and our ears to your word and your truth and what you would have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So with the upcoming election, we've been in a series talking about national issues. And we looked at a few biblical leaders over the past few weeks. Those sermons are online. So if you missed any of those, you can go online and get caught up and listen to those. In that, all this series, I've been reminding us all that God is ultimately in control, that he is in control of our security. He is in control of our nation. Even if our nation seems to be out of control, God is still sovereign over all. He is our God. He is our Lord. He is our commander and chief. With that in mind, and with that as a reminder, God has set up earthly leaders. He set up governments to rule over and to govern over groups of people. So after looking at what the Bible has revealed as good and bad qualities of leaders in the past few weeks, and the effects that that has on the country that they were leading, we have the last two sermons in this series kind of go off into a different little direction. We look at kind of two sides of the same coin, the coin of civil obedience. So the one side, of course, is civil obedience, and the other side is civil disobedience. So today is the first side of that coin, civil behavior of Christians, and next week is the other side. They kind of go hand in hand. Next week is called When Enough is Enough. So let's go ahead and take some notes here. Earthly government was God's idea before the concept. Therefore, the concept of earthly government is inherently good. We need to be reminded of that, especially in the midst of where we're at right now and things. In that passage we just read, and we're going to be breaking down that passage as we walk through today's message. But I want us to be able to hear it in its entirety, because sometimes that just really helps to get a big picture first. So the idea of government was God's idea. Therefore, it is inherently good. Supporting and being involved in an earthly government as a Christian does not go against biblical teaching. In fact, it's just the opposite. We should be supporting God's idea of what government should be. It was God's idea in the first place, and we of all people knowing that and knowing what God's intention was and what God's purpose is for government, we'll be getting into that. We as Christians, we should be involved, we should be influencing, we should be moving things towards that. When we support and we're involved and we're influencing government, we're influencing something that was God's idea in the first place, something that God has established, something that God has empowered, something that God ordained. So since we understand that, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be involved and to help and to influence and to do what we can to steer it towards God's purpose and away from things that are outside of his purpose and his desire. Our God is a God of order, is he not? He's not a God of chaos. We can look at the cosmos and see this. We live on this planet and we stay alive on this planet, and people have stayed alive on this planet for thousands of years because we are just perfectly in orbit around the sun. If that were knocked off just by a little bit, we'd either freeze or we'd burn up. It's amazing. And that's not just our planet and a sun. We're talking about multiple planets and moons and multiple stars and solar systems, and the universe all moves and it's all in perfect synchronization. Our God is a God of order. We see it as we look at the stars, as we look at our calendar, as we see the moon and the sun. Our God is a God of order. We see it when we think about things that we can't see with our eyes, that you'd have to use like microscopes and then microscopes on top of microscopes to be able to see things like atoms and understand that we have electrons and protons and neutrons. And if something goes wrong there and that balance is messed up, that's not good. That's why it was called an atom bomb. When things get mixed up there, things go crazy and nuts. Our God's a God of order. Our bodies are held together by various molecules made up of these atoms. The pew you're sitting on, the air we breathe, it's just amazing. Our God is a God of order. And so as we think about that and we reflect on that and are reminded of that, the same is true for government. The same is true for people. God wants order. He doesn't want chaos. He intended for certain people to be in charge, to be an authority over others. And when someone is an authority over another person, they have the right to tell you what to do. That's what authority is. We kick against that, and we're a nation of rebels. And there's a certain goodness about that, because we will push against things that aren't good. But authority is authority, and it's there for a reason. And we have to respect that and understand that God has put certain people over others. People in authority have the right to enforce that obedience. That was God's idea, not man's idea. And we need to be reminded of that. The idea, the concept of earthly government was established, created, it was generated, it was set in place by God. And therefore, it is inherently good. It is innately good. Back to the passage we read earlier, all the way back up at the beginning of chapter 13. Paul says, "For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God." Does this mean that specific individuals across all of time were God's sovereign choice? No, we can't go that direction, because we know there have been some really bad people in leadership positions and positions of government. What it means is that God has set up the idea and the purpose and the concept, the structure, or not so much the structure, but the purpose of government, and that the government should be operate in a way that allows the people to be protected and in our rights. We'll talk about that just a moment. We are people that have a freedom of choice. We have the chance to choose. Do we have the chance to choose we vote in our country. Do we have the choice to choose a bad leader? Yes, we do. Do we have the choice to choose a good leader? Sometimes. But no, we as people, we have choices there. That doesn't, and God gives us that freedom of choice. So we can choose, we can vote in. As a nation, we can vote in an awful leader. That doesn't mean that government was a bad idea. That doesn't mean that government was not intended for good or inherently good. It doesn't mean that that position of authority is bad. So God has put this in order, that he has placed this government, the idea of government. I have to be careful because structure is not a concern for him. Purpose is what he was concerned about. So the person has God-given authority, even if that person isn't a God-selected or God-approved individual. Does that make sense? Since he set it up and he said people are going to be in charge of other people, there's going to be positions of authority, even if that person isn't someone that God would have selected himself, they fill a God-ordained role, a God-created role. And so, therefore, there is that authority. Because of this God-established idea of government, Paul says, consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, next week, we're going to get to some exceptions to this. We're going to look at the flip side of the coin. But today, looking at this side of the coin, civil obedience. As a general rule, Christians, we should submit to the order of authority that God has set in place. That should be our goal. Chapter break that we have between 12 and 13 is very unfortunate, because we really have to connect the ideas at the end of chapter 12 with chapter 13, that we should live at peace as best as we can, to live at peace with one another. Paul goes on to describe God's intended purpose for government and how we should conduct ourselves as Christians who are also citizens. Though God has a clear-minded intention, and this is what I was talking about just a moment ago, he has a clear-minded intention for the purpose of government, he nowhere states this is the structure of the governments that, you know, he did for his nation, for Israel. But after that, it wasn't, God spoke about purpose and intent of government, what a government was supposed to fulfill, but not so much the structure. So we don't have a structure set in there, but more importantly, we have what the purpose is, and here we have the purpose. For rulers hold no terror or no fear over those or for those who do right, but those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one who is in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So let's write this down. God's intended purpose of earthly government is to keep peace by upholding justice through positions of authority. That's priority number one. That's what God has set up for government. Now, governments, through the course of history, move off of this. And this is where we have a responsibility, Christians. We know that this is what it's supposed to be. We have to be involved. We have to influence. This is what God wanted. God's intended purpose was the government to keep peace by upholding justice through positions of authority. And this happens in two different places that Paul describes here. One is protecting the rights of all citizens. Three times in this passage we read, he says that the government officials are God's servants. In one of those places, it says that they are God's servant for your good, for my good, for our good. They are for our good. They are to protect the rights of the citizens. And it said we have an unfortunate chapter break here. But if we go back to chapter 12 and we see this connection here to 13, Paul says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. So the government is here to serve God, and whether or not they acknowledge that or not, whether they understand that or not, whether the government officials or those that make up our government realize that they serve God, that doesn't change that they do. If God says this is the way it's set up and this is my design, then whether they believe it or not, they're still serving God's purpose. They're still fulfilling God's design. And part of that is to keep peace by administering justice. One of God's ways of administering earthly punishment is through earthly governments. So in the section 12 where Paul says live at peace as best you can and don't take up revenge, don't take up things in your own hands, and then we have this chapter break. But if we pull that chapter break out, we see Paul saying, look, God's going to take care of things. Here's the earthly government that's been put in place. That chapter break kind of really messes that up for us, the continuity between the two. But part of God's earthly revenge, to use that word, what was the exact word in the NIV? It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. So part of that earthly avenging comes through the establishment of earthly governments. They are God's servants set to punish those who do wrong. It's not up to us to do that. And so that's where we see some sides there where we depend on the government for that, and we support and we should influence the government to continue to do that. That's part of their job, to protect our rights. The other side of that, they protect our rights, protect the rights of all citizens, and punishing those who violate the rights of others. Paul says they don't bear the sword for no reason. They are to dish out punishments, and that serves as justice to the guilty party, and it also serves as a deterrent to others who might think about going down that same road. God said, is mine to avenge. It is mine to set it right. It is mine to bring justification or to justify or to bring punishment. And that's not just talking about an eternal level. God uses earthly government and positions of authority to do that on an earthly side. So God is ultimately over that in the establishment of government. So real quick, what are God's civil expectations for me as his child in relation to the government I am under? Paul lists a number of these right here in this section. Very first half of the first verse of chapter 13. We're kind of bouncing around. This is why I wanted to read the whole passage in one big gulp at the beginning, because we'd be jumping around a bit. Paul says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. Everyone. So what's expected of me? I am to acknowledge and submit to the authority of civil rulers. That's what's expected of me. I am to acknowledge and submit to the authority of civil rulers. Submission and authority go hand in hand. They go together. The idea of authority requires the concept of submission. They go together. You can't have authority and not demand submission. If God placed a person in authority, if they hold a God-given order to maintain control and peace and not chaos, then we as Christians should do what we can to acknowledge and submit to that authority. Our submission is expected. This isn't just Paul here in Romans. Peter also writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. He's very clear there. Whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Same exact concept that Paul was writing about here in Romans. Paul writes again in Titus chapter 3, he says, remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. I went ahead and included verse 2 because I thought in the midst of things here, we might need that little reminder there as a little side piece there to this sermon today. To slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to always be gentle toward everyone. When things get heated in the midst of politics and elections, and especially during this cycle. So that's just kind of a little bonus, that verse 2 there. To be reminded to not slander anyone, to be peaceable, considerate, and to always be gentle toward everyone. So, but verse 1 concentrates on the subject we're at hand here, is that to remind people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient. So that's consistent. So let's write that down. To obey the laws and regulations that have been put in place by them. What if this? What if that? What if this happens? What about this? This side of the coin today. Next week, what ifs? Next week's the other side of the coin. This side, though, there are times for civil disobedience, but we'll be looking at that. We are to obey the laws and the regulations put there. We are to submit to their authority. If the law does not go against God's word, we as Christians should be the first to step up and comply and obey and show respect and authority. Any person in a position of authority, if you get pulled over by a police officer, you should be showing that person respect because of their position, and you're a Christian. Not only are we expected to have that kind of behavior, period, towards anyone, but they are in a position of authority, and we understand that my job is to respect and acknowledge and obey. And if you were obeying the laws, you wouldn't be seeing a policeman anyway. Not in a negative situation. You know, I'm bad myself there. So, and Paul covers that. You know, why you won't fear their authority if you're doing good. And then this section, I brought a little attention to this when we read through the big passage, but verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants. That's the third time that he says that in that passage. Who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, I love how he does this. He moves from just the basic and the very physical and the very, earthly side to a very vertical perspective of this as he moves his language. If anyone, give to anyone, everyone what you owe them. If you owe them taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, pay revenue. Then he digs deeper. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So as we pay taxes, it's connected to that idea of respecting and honoring. So let's write that down. That's in the Bible. To pay taxes to support the government. This will be a hard one to remember come April. But it's there and it's true. God's idea was to have a government. We need people in that government to fulfill what his purpose is. To protect our rights, to punish those who do wrong. They have to make a living somehow doing that. Our police officers, our politicians, and all in between. So we pay taxes to support the government. What else is expected of us? To respect the government placed in authority by God. We've talked about that overlapping a number of different places. But to respect them, that's an attitude. Obedience is just a very cold choice sometimes. And I can obey with a bad attitude. I can do that. My children can do that. Your children could do that. But respect means changing our attitude. It's not just obedience, but it's a respect to give honor where honor is deserved. Not just taxes and revenue, but to give respect where respect is deserved, to give honor where honor is deserved. So we are to respect those who are in authority over us. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says this. He says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people. And look where he goes next. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all good godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. So let's write this down. What's expected of me as a Christian? To pray for them. No matter who the them is. Government was God's idea, and so inherently it is good. Government's not evil. There are corrupt governments, there are corrupt leaders. You can open up the book of Revelation and read about those, the beast of the sea. But inherently, government is good because it was God's idea. It was God's concept. And so we as Christians should feel some responsibility to make positive changes to our government, to be involved, to influence it back to the purpose that God intended for our government to accomplish. And in that we should always try to live at peace as we acknowledge, respect, submit, and obey the governing authorities as long as they do not directly go against what God has commanded us. And we need to pray for them. Very simple. Something we can put into practice later today, Monday, Tuesday, through this election cycle, through the next year, through the next 4 years, through the next 8 years. Here's what God's word says to us as his children and how we should be responding and reacting and living in regards to our government.